Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to Feedback, 715-845-2155. This is your opportunity to chime in and be a part of the program. The first thing, obviously, what we have to do, we got to talk about the State of the Union address. Of course we do. We would be remiss. We would be ignoring the 400-pound, very hungry gorilla sitting in the middle of our living room if we did not. However, I'll be honest with you, there's not a lot in there to discuss. Not anything new, not anything earth-shattering, no revelations, but a lot was said being unsaid. So let's talk about that. 715-845-2155 is your phone number if you want to be a part of the program. And then we'll also talk about, as we go through this, New York Rep. Michael Grimm is, well, in a bit of hot water this morning in what happened in an interview after the State of the Union address. Very, very interesting and very telling. All right, first let's go to the phones. Wayne, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just want to talk about the address last night.
Sure, buddy. It's all you.
I liked it very much. I liked what when he talked about raising the minimum wage.
Okay.
And I also liked when he said he was cutting down the drone strikes.
Mm-hmm. He's not, as far as the drone strikes are concerned. He's very, very active and using drone strikes as his predominant weapon of choice in fighting terrorism right now instead of putting boots on the ground. It's more politically correct.
He's cutting down the drone strikes. He said
you,
that.
You believe him, though. He said it, but you believe he's doing it.
Yes, okay. I believe him. Yeah.
His actions say otherwise, but that's okay. Now, let me ask you this. When he says he's increasing the minimum wage, you're talking about for federal workers to $10.10 an hour, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How's he going to pay for that?
How's he going to pay for it?
Mm-hmm. How's he going to pay for it?
The company's got money to give him.
No. These are federal workers, sir. This is coming out of federal coffers. How is he going to pay?
Yeah, federal contractors.
Right. The federal government pays those contractors, sir. So how's he going to pay for it?
The government has the right to tell the contractors.
No, the question is, how is he going to pay for it? Sir, the government is the one who pays the contractors.
Through taxes.
Oh, so you're saying you want higher taxes?
Yes, most definitely.
You're brilliant.
For that, also for infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
And I'd also like to see the military drawn down.
You want the military to be smaller?
Yes, most definitely.
Okay. Well, sir, you're entitled to your opinion, and I am glad that you called in. Drawing down our military and making it smaller and less effective in this environment is a really bad idea.
No, I think it's a good idea.
I understand you do.
Bring the troops home.
Okay, I understand that, but you are ignoring the threat that Al-Qaeda has against this country.
No, I'm not ignoring the threat. I'm not ignoring the threat.
Well, then how do you propose to fight it, sir?
Well, you can't fight them by bombing every civilian around them.
We're not bombing every civilian around them.
Well, we did in Iraq. Sir, we're doing it in Afghanistan.
Here's the problem. You're not making any sense. You're talking in circles, and you're not informed. You're going by what the president is saying on an emotional response, but not an informed.
I am informed. I'm a veteran.
Sir, being a veteran doesn't mean you're informed in foreign affairs and what's going on in the world right now. While I appreciate greatly the service that you gave to this country, it does not mean that you're informed of what's going on right now. If you think that raising our taxes, increasing federal workers' pay, and drawing down the military and decreasing our drone strikes will help keep this country safe, you're delusional. Any response? I didn't think so.
Well, you know, first of all, the point you're making right there, just because we're going to be paying a higher minimum wage to federal contractors doesn't mean our taxes are going up. The money can come from elsewhere in the federal budget.
There is a $17 trillion deficit.
Secondly,
where exactly is it going to come from?
Secondly, making the military leaner and meaner and changing the way we fight the war on terror as opposed to keeping standing armies in Europe and other parts of the world.
You talk to the Pentagon and you ask how lean and mean this budget is going to make them. That's brilliant. All right, Tim, you're up next. What says you? Wait a minute, that's been used before.
Well, after catching parts of it last night on the radio, because I've learned now that I don't want to see it on television with all the visuals. But the gist I get of this is that this particular president, in this dog and pony show, as you called it appropriately, where he's trying to push his agenda no matter what,
right,
and he's still doing the stay the course, has got to realize that if more of his Obamacare fallout continues, if he keeps saying push more, and those of us like me who continue to see our insurance premium goes up, my deductible from work has tripled from $1,500 to $4,500 for my medical insurance, and if he keeps on saying we need to keep staying this, he's got to have to realize that his arrogance of just saying that my way is right and nothing else is going to be his undoing.
You know, and you bring up an interesting point. I make the assertion that Barack Obama is a brilliant man. I believe he is a very intelligent individual. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he is calculating the risks. But I have a question. If an individual has a 30-something, was it 36, 37% approval rating nationwide, that also is including the half of the nation that supposedly supported him so emphatically at the second election. If his approval rating is only 37%, then why exactly is it that he feels the authority to use executive orders to go around Congress and get done what he wants to get done?
Well, because some of the left that's against some of his policies, those are the same policies that the right are the few things that the right could support.
But
whether it be increased drone strikes or whether it be certain situations.
But this is my point, Tom. This is not the United States of Barack Obama. He does not have the right to enact his will.
As long as the executive office has the right to write executive orders and...
Really?
Well,
that's your excuse.
It's there. It's there. And if Congress refuses to do anything, if partisan gridlock is so bad that nothing can get through the House and the Senate at the same time.
If what I thought you were going to say is if Congress won't act to limit the power of the executive privilege.
Well, they could, but there is nothing that Congress can do at this point because the House and the Senate will not agree on anything.
Do you honestly believe that one man in the office of the presidency should have the ability to circumnavigate Congress to enact what he wants to get done without being answerable to the American people?
Well, he was answerable to the American people. He was reelected. And
your answer is yes.
If the United States population disagrees so vehemently with the direction he's going, then there is impeachment as an option as well. But the idea that he's going to do this because Congress isn't doing their job. Why aren't you taking Congress to task for not doing their job?
Wait a minute. Whoa. Don't start going down that road, because I've taken Congress to task many, many, many times.
Well, Congress certainly is. It's the president's fault. And the pundits certainly are. It's the president's fault. Everything is the president's fault.
When the president of the United States, in his arrogance, feels that he can wipe his ass with the Constitution of the United States and by the pen and the phone do whatever he feels is necessary for the direction of the United States, he is refusing to hear the Founding Fathers. Even George Washington, the very first president.
The policies of this president have been vetted by the Supreme Court, which decides what is constitutional and what is not constitutional.
And the Supreme Court never makes a mistake. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Barb.
Hey, Barb, what's on your mind?
I have a question. Who sent the Congress to Washington? The people.
People of the United States.
We elected those people because of their stance on what we believe is important. So it isn't Congress not doing what they're supposed to do. They are doing what they're supposed to do, representing we, the people.
Yeah, but they're not doing anything.
Oh, yes, they are.
What are they doing?
They are standing for the principles that we believe in by not allowing the president to pass laws in spite of the people's will.
Obstructionism is a good thing. Will you say the same thing when Congress is obstructing a Republican president?
It's not obstruction if they're representing us, we the people, our will, not the representatives' will, not the president's will, not the senator's will.
And they have to have the opportunity. They cannot be circumnavigated by the president and executive order. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Ray.
Ray, what can we do for you?
How many bills have came out of the House and are sitting in the Senate and Harry Reid refuses to bring to the floor?
Numerous.
You talk about gridlock. Who's obstructing things right now? It's Harry Reid.
And how many how many Senate bills won't get through the House? I mean, it works both ways.
Well, there's a difference. There's one, what our caller is saying, is that they are refusing to take up the issues because they know that they'll be defeated. The second issue that you brought up is that the representatives are standing up for the beliefs and the feelings of the people and objecting to the liberal socialist slant that the government is trying to take. One is complete do-nothingness. That's what our caller is referring to. What you're referring to is Congress and the representatives actually doing their job. WSAU, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about a representative from New York that let his mouth probably write a check that his body can't cash.
Be careful if I'm throwing you out the window here.
Yeah, right. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
The Wisconsin Morning News to start your day.
Feedback at 8.
The biggest talkers.
And did we mention baseball?
There's only one station that delivers it all.
Every day.
AM 550. FM 99.9. WSAU.
On just back to the executive order thing for a minute, and we've talked about this before. The presidents who have used executive orders in the past, of course, the king was Franklin Roosevelt, as you might expect. But since World War II and since Franklin Roosevelt, the two presidents who have signed the most executive orders were Dwight Eisenhower and Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question would be, would you resent the use of executive orders if it was a president doing it to further your political philosophy and agenda?
Have you read what executive orders Ronald Reagan signed?
Not all of them, no.
Yeah. Have you read any of them?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Yeah, I did. I spent hours reading the executive orders that Ronald Reagan signed. I spent hours reading the executive orders that W signed. Predominantly, most of them were housekeeping issues, where a bill, a law, something has become outdated. There is additional members that have to be covered. These are administrative and housekeeping issues. That's what the executive order was made for. Let's say, and this is a horrible example, but it's the best I can do off the top of my head. These 10 members of this committee shall be doing this, 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 and this. Well, unfortunately, because of whatever circumstance, there's now 12 members of the committee. Well, the law has now changed to say the 12 members of the committee shall do this. That is adjusted and maintained by executive order. You don't need to take the bill, reintroduce it into Congress, have it voted on, blah, 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 to change the wording. But it has to have go through an official process. Predominantly, Reagan, Ford, W., Clinton were administrative in their executive order. Our current president has put an entire new definition on what executive order allows and does not allow to happen.
Well, there have been some big issues that have been dealt with by executive orders.
Yes, there have.
Dwight Eisenhower desegregated the schools.
Sure.
Harry Truman desegregated the armed forces with executive orders.
Yes, and I'm not saying that important issues have not been addressed, but one after another that need to go through the process of Congress have been literally just avoided.
By the way, the only president who didn't issue an executive order was William Henry Harrison because he died a couple of weeks into office. Otherwise, every president since George Washington has used the executive order.
So I think maybe one of the things that need to be looked at is the use, the authority, the scope of the executive order. You start that, and again, you're allowing government to expand its power, possibly. All right, let's go back to the phones. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Doug.
Doug, what can we do for you?
Well, I think you should take a minute to compare how Ronald Reagan handled the situation when he couldn't get what he wanted early on in his presidency versus what Obama's doing. Reagan took his case directly to the American people and made the case for change. Obama can't do that because he can't get the support. He's in my opinion, the first lawless president we've ever had. He changes a health care bill on his whim. He changes other, if he doesn't like the rule, he doesn't enforce it. He doesn't like the law, he ignores it, and on and on and on.
Well, I think it's a little far-reaching in the criticism. However, I will say this. President Obama is trying very, very hard to influence the public to support the health care issue, his wage increase issue, his foreign policy issues. He's trying very hard. He travels. He gives these great speeches. He is a magnificent speaker. And he is trying on an emotional level to gin up support for his policies. However, factually, his speeches lack. They are emotional. They are feelings driven. They are not fact driven. And that's because emotions get us fired up. Facts put us sound asleep.
That's why they talk about raising the minimum wage, because it's an emotional issue.
Exactly.
Truth be known, the reason he did it for federal workers is it's tied to union contracts.
That has a lot to do with it. Yes, sir. Thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate your help. All right. So don't have time to get into it and do great justice. So when we come back from the break, we'll go to break here in a minute. We're going to talk about Representative Michael Grimm of New York. Did you hear what happened?
I did. This is a great story, and now, it's going to be interesting to see what the fallout is.
Now, is this what you were referring to when you said something about throwing me out of a window?
Yeah.
Michael Grimm of New York, Republican, is currently under investigation for some campaign finance improprieties. Now, here's where
That's not the situation, though.
That's not the situation.
It's what happened last night.
He's frustrated, okay? You know, dadgummit, when you're a congressman or you're a representative from New York, aren't you supposed to be able to take a few bribes here and there without these people getting their nose bent out of joint?
Mm.
Hey, this is New York. This is how we do things here, right? Wrong. Here's my question, though. The campaign finance improprieties, as they're being called, more or less severe than Dinesh D'Souza?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I have no idea what the problems are, but the question was asked of him.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Okay.
I don't want to deal the hand too much. We're going to talk into it.
That's called a tease.
Yes. Welcome to radio, brother. but we're going to talk about what was it that was said to him that got him all fired up, and what did he say back when he thought the cameras weren't rolling.
Mm.
You should always assume, just as you should always assume the gun is loaded.
And the mic is hot.
You should always assume the mic is hot and the camera is on. A very painful lesson for this individual to learn. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News, we are going to take another break. We got to give you the news. We got to give you the weather. We got to give you some sports and all the other things. Oh, and a handful of commercials, too, just to round out your morning. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Central Wisconsin's News Talk and Weather Station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.